Authority regularly meets at 7 p.m. the third Tuesday of every month in the Blair City Council Chambers. The purpose of this meeting is to conduct the business of the Blair Airport. The meeting will follow the agenda made available inside the entrance door of the Council Chambers. Also, a copy of the Nebraska Open Meetings Law is posted by the entrance door. If you have an agenda item or wish to comment on an agenda item, please follow these steps. First, raise your hand and allow me to recognize you. Next, step up to the podium. Clearly state your name and address to be recorded by the secretary. Please direct your remarks to the members of the authority. Please do not speak directly to other members of the audience. And as a courtesy to others, please limit your comments to 3 minutes. City of Blair officials that typically attend these meetings include members of the Blair Airport Authority, Dr. Dave Johnson, who's the chairman, Marty Rump is the secretary, Dan Hunt is the vice chairman, Wes Bedke is the treasurer, and Dr. Faye Jones. Also attending are Phil Green, Blair City Administrator, and also the Blair Airport Manager, and Aaron Barrow, the Assistant Blair City Administrator. And we get to add our city attorney to the list that's not on the...
I've never said anything, I've just listened to the thing here, so...
Anyway, city attorney is also in present. Thank you for your interest in the Blair Airport, and we appreciate your interest and participation. Roll call, please.
Dr. Faye Jones is not here. Marty Rump, that's me. I am here. Dr. Dave Johnson, not here. Dan Hunt?
Present.
And Wes Bedke?
Present.
Thank you. Agenda item number 3 is approval of the minutes from the August 27th special meeting. Those were provided in Spark prior to the meeting. Any questions, input? If there are none, I would entertain a motion for approval.
I will approve.
Second?
I'll second that.
Please indicate your votes.
All members present voting aye.
Agenda item number 4 is the financial reports for August of 2024, also presented to the board previously and made part of the public record through the Spark website, Spark City of Blair website. Any questions, comments on the financial reports?
Claims were pretty light for this month. I would note just that the subscription renewal for the 1200 euro takes us through to August of 2025, so that was billed. Unless there's any other concerns, I'd make a motion to approve the financial reports for August.
No, I will second.
We have a motion and a second. Please indicate your votes.
All members present voting aye.
Agenda item number 5. Presentation of the results of the NDOT Aeronautics Airport licensing inspections. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Aaron, why don't you go ahead and bring up the second item, just so people can see the fancy looking little license that we were awarded by the state. So they did their routine inspection that they normally do. It's a inspection is good for relicensing the airport for multiple years. As you can see on this particular one, as it states on the document, it's good now through December of 2027. And so what's included in the packet that I'd encourage you to kind of look over are just other details, I guess, on the issues that they looked at. One of the things they stated in their cover letter that there were no license violations observed during the inspection. And so therefore they went ahead and awarded us this. It came in multiple phases. There was the airport licensing inspection itself, the safety and operations inspection. They reviewed the base aircraft listing, and then there was a pavement condition index inspection, and that's listed. I just received that a couple days ago, so I'm going to go ahead and post that. And if you're interested in getting it sent via email, I'll go ahead and send that to you. But again, no problems that they indicated on that concrete inspection as well. So I'll take any questions. Just wanted you to know that otherwise. And again, we may find some nice place up front at the City Hall here to go ahead and post this license.
Yeah, so maybe out at the airport because pilots, you know, are in the lounge or, you know, passengers and give them something to stare at.
Yep. maybe Harrison can find a really nice place for us to hang.
Yeah.
That's a good wall space for
you. Okay, that's good. That's good. So yeah, we'll get it framed in something nice, and that way we can have it out there.
There was a list of kind of recommended corrections for some items out there, mainly some bulbs and fixture items. Do we keep like an inventory of like extra bulbs or extra lenses, or do we at least know like the models and all that stuff that we can get some of that stuff corrected? Or
yeah, I don't know. I'm listening, Aaron.
Yes, we do. Actually, in Doc's tea hanger, there's a number of bulbs there. Mark Hodson inspects those and replaces those as he sees them. So when he's out mowing and stuff like that, he'll replace them.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I'll give him a list of those pictures that they gave us and the notes that were with those for the things that were not functioning at the time.
Yeah, it's a lot to, it's a big property to keep track of, so it's kind of interesting to see kind of a comprehensive review of all that stuff. And yeah, like it didn't jeopardize the licensing, but I guess we do need to reply back, or at least indicate when we repair each of these items. So
okay.
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay.
There are a few fixtures, runway fixtures that are missing. So so we'll do a deep dive into that and figure out exactly what happened there.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
no,
you.
No action on that. So.
Yeah. You just will stay up there, huh?
You had a motion.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Oh, okay.
You had a motion in that. You not
to what?
To acknowledge receipt.
Oh, okay. Well,
you want that?
Oh, that's fine. Acknowledge it and receive it.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to acknowledge receipt of the report.
I will make a motion to do that.
I'll second that.
Please indicate your vote.
All members present voting aye.
Oh, look at that. It's unanimous again. Agenda item number 6. Discussion of possible action regarding proposals to assist the Blair Airport Authority to update rules and regs, land lease market analysis, and develop a land lease template. It should probably be a construction building code thing. But anyway, yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay.
A construction standard for hangars and stuff, that was part of it.
A construction what?
A construction standard, like
yes.
You know, what type of material, what the color, what the, yeah.
Okay.
That's part of it.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we can talk about that. So Vice Chairman Hunt and I kind of mentioned that I would go ahead and kind of introduce this, just kind of get it started. He's got a review that he had sent out to everybody, and so I'll let him kind of lead that conversation. One of the things I wanted to bring to your attention before we get started on it is just that you may have questions of, you know, how much can we afford? Where would this actually go? So just a reminder, in next year's budget, because again, our fiscal year starts in October, so we obviously wouldn't have time to get really anything done and invoiced in time. So we have $30,000 that we have in next year's budget for consultants and engineers. that $30,000 then is potentially available for this, and keep that number in mind. Also keep in mind that we estimated when we were putting the budget together a cash carry forward of about $183,000. Obviously, if we have more cash that goes forward that's unspent from this year, then that potentially would be money that could be available for us to be able to use either for this or for some other kind. And again, hard to know right now exactly how much cash we'll have to go forward, but I'm 100% sure that it'd be at least that $184,000. Could almost be double that just because of some other things that weren't done this year that were in the budget. So I believe personally that money necessarily is an issue. Depending on which one you want to go with, that may not hold true for the last one. I'll mention that when we get there. So again, 3 different proposals that were submitted. One from Olson, one from Jet Law, and then the final one was from AMCG. So Olson's, and again, all this detail is laid out for you in their proposal that was listed there. Obviously, a great experience that we have with them. Steve Stockman and Diane Hofer, and obviously Heather's a great support for us. It's broken down into a variety of different tasks that they have listed for us. So land lease rate evaluation, and they would be conducting a lease study of similar size in active airports and establishing guidelines and current market pricing for leasing. So that was a little over $10,000. The minimum standards review of $7,300, and then develop those construction standards for pavement utilities and hangars. And we'll make sure that in the hangars area there, that talks about, you know, any building issues that are relevant, and come up with a good materials listing. So $8,100 for that as well. So grand total, everything worked out to be about $26,000. And again, we've budgeted $30,000 next year in that consultation area. So that number works well from that perspective. Then we had the jet wall one, which was you know, a little bit harder to review, if you will. It was basically just an email that stipulated a few different details. Hard to tell exactly if all of those individual issues would be necessary and would be taken advantage of. You know, you could argue that depending upon how you wanted to look at those numbers, maybe you could theoretically come up with something that would be a little bit less expensive. But I always hate having just kind of random things that aren't very well organized for us and aren't very, very clear, because then it just kind of can run away and escalate on us, if you would. So my estimation would be that would be anywhere between you know, $10,000 or higher, depending upon what pieces we felt like we needed JetLaw to be able to do. And more likely it could be, you know, substantially higher if we felt like we weren't getting the details that we were after. Finally, the AMC G1, hopefully you had a chance to look at that. Again, they broke it down as well into multiple different elements. There were about six elements there, but their costs were substantially higher. And so when you added all of that up, you know, it was kind of in a range of possibilities that they presented to us, but could be anywhere from roughly $88,000 or higher, which is well above what we had budgeted and probably substantially more than what you might be interested in. Again, probably done very, very well, very professional. It would be nice to have some new eyeballs looking at certain things. But, you know, from, at least from Blair's perspective, we've gotten really, really good work from Olson. No objection there. So Vice Chairman Hunt, I'll turn it over to you. He's going to have more detailed conversation about all the issues. And then ultimately, if you want to go with one of these, you can go ahead and make that motion tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Green. I think Phil did a pretty good job of summarizing the proposals that we got. I thought Olson's was pretty straightforward. Frankly, JetLaw really wasn't straightforward. And I think, as Phil said, the AMCG proposal, we might get what we pay for, but it's pretty expensive. And these guys, I've seen presentations, the AMCG folks, I've seen presentations they've made. They were pretty thorough and impressive presentations, so I don't have any doubt that they could do the job, but the price is substantially above that of the other two. So, did either of you have questions or comments to make about this?
I guess I would note we're looking at a few different things. I think it's summarized kind of best with the Olson proposal, where we're looking at kind of guidance on land, on leases, and then kind of developing our construction standards and the minimum standards. The JetLaw proposal, it seems to be oriented a little bit more toward the legal side, so working with leases and things like that, and the language of them on the law side, we might need a little more, if we're looking at actually changing the language and stuff in our leases, it might be more of a legal thing than an engineering thing, if you follow me. So we might need expertise from that side, depending on how far we want to take it. I think on the engineering side, definitely we're looking for the construction standards and the with as far as minimum standards related to airports. So I guess one question, so the difference between minimum standards and construction standards, is the minimum standards dealing with The buildings, private buildings, or would that be?
The minimum standards is actually an FAA, FAA has a document that they call minimum standards, am I correct? Yeah, and so it's, I'm sure that there's some FAA regulation somewhere that you can go point by point and make sure that you've got everything there.
And that kind of goes together with our comprehensive, you know, development plan and stuff. Okay, yeah. So that makes sense.
We have an existing minimum standard.
Yeah.
I think it probably needs to be reviewed just because it hasn't been looked at for quite a while. Now, you got the input from the jet law guys. Frankly, it's pretty good. You know, not that bad.
Yeah.
So, okay, good. But I still kind of think that they could stand for a review. I'm led to believe that they were created by essentially plagiarizing the rules and regs from the Spirit of St. Louis Airport, which is down in St. Louis. It's kind of the GA reliever airfield down in St. Louis, and my understanding is that's where ours, that was the genesis of ours.
Okay. And again, we've never had a review or...
Well, not while I've been here, but I mean, I don't have all the history, but yeah, and you know, the FAA is always changing something, and we've had in the time that I have been here on the board, there's been a couple of situations where kind of maybe open to review, or quite, you know, there are people that have a little bit of disagreement about maybe how to interpret them, so that might be an opportunity to make sure that we lock down some of those issues that might have been not so clear in regards to, I mean, we could probably pick five or six of them. You know. If the administration was worried about cash flow, and I hope they are, I would prioritize them as the land lease, the construction standards, and the minimum standards, because we already have minimum standards. The land lease rates are a hot topic, as we all know, and the construction standards are non-existent. So I think that we start with the land lease because that's a priority, and then construction standards because we don't have them, and then minimum standards as an afterthought.
Yeah, and the land, like you mentioned, the land lease, you know, we're running a kind of an experiment here with kind of shifting to lot fees versus square foot leases, and we may kind of adjust that as we move forward depending on how well it works. So it's kind of a organic thing. We're I guess all, the more input we have at the beginning, the better. But as long as we can kind of adjust as we move along, if we have a major development on the south end or whatever. So yeah, I kind of agree. If I don't know if we have to do all these things simultaneously, but the land lease and the construction standards, probably I can see those being the highest priority. So I would be in favor of getting started with that part of the process, at least. And I'm not quite sure. I've read through the Olson presentation, and they're listed as kind of estimates, so they may be kind of based on hourly fees. I'm not 100% sure, but
I was going to ask about that. So it says the fees are estimated. I don't know what would cause the fees to change. Pardon?
Those are a lump sum, so that would be the total amount.
Okay, not to exceed. Okay.
And is there any sequencing that is important if we wanted to leave the minimum standards until the end?
No, that would be an issue at all.
Yeah.
Does the staff have any concern with getting like legal review or anything of the leases as they're kind of currently set up, or is that kind of be done internally, or?
Or you guys have anybody that as they're doing part of the. Part of the land lease rates and potentially looking at
Steve may have somebody that he utilizes that could review, but I don't know if he included that specifically.
It may be worthwhile then, yeah, for us to just basically, once you know, once we're at that stage, to farm that out as a slightly smaller project just for a legal review.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, Marty, your point about how jet law is more legal thing, I think that's a valid point. That, and I think that's kind of what they're about. It's in their name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I reached out to them because I bump into them quite a bit, and they make a lot of presentations about the proper way to operate your airport and stay within FAA guidelines. So that's why I reached out to them to give us a proposal.
And the fact that I think if you had like different uses on airport property where you might have commercial or industrial stuff going on or cargo or anything like that, I think, you know, in a case like that, you might want to get a little more legal advice on how that's all set up. But our stuff is pretty homogenic, I guess. Just it's mainly just rentals for private aircraft. So I think the legal side of it isn't quite as important at this point. So
don't let an attorney hear you say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wes, anything else?
No, I mean, I think just with the familiarity with Olson, it seems like a good fit.
Good fit, yeah. Well, I'd entertain a motion if anyone's ready to make one.
Let's see. So I think in the last meeting we actually had a proposal. I don't know if it's attached here. It might be.
It is, yes.
Okay, so
it's the MSA work order number 18. Now I'm making an assumption here that we're going to make we're going to recommend Olson, but they did provide a work order number 18, which is attached. If I could be so bold, I might suggest that the motion be that we authorize the administration to engage with Olson to execute work order number 18 in an amount not to exceed $26,000, based on resources and immediate needs at the airport. How'd I do?
I could second that for you.
Well, you have to make the motion.
Oh, I have to make the motion.
Okay. You can make that motion.
So I'll make the motion to for staff to engage with Olson regarding the three tasks in work order number 18.
Okay, there's motion second?
And I will second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. There it is.
All members present voting aye.
Okay. Agenda item number 7, work order number 19, Midway Estates replat. Mr. Green.
Thank you again, Mr. Vice Chair. And real briefly, just based on that previous item, I am going to be going to the AAAE airport legal workshop up in Chicago the second full week of October, so October 7th through 9th. So I'll be up there. So it'll give me an opportunity. I'm sure we'll bump into the jet law guys and people and have a chance to kind of meet some other ones up there. So I don't think it would be too difficult once we're kind of towards the end of the Olson project that we could, you know, contract with somebody just to simply review the documents that we had. Even with that email that came from Jet Law, it was roughly about $1,400 for them to review our current one, then to come up with a template that would kind of help guide us on using that in the future. So we can always do that, I think, in a way that would be beneficial all around. So on this particular item, work order number 19 with Olson, and again, these work orders are always kind of additional actual little projects that we're doing with them as our airport engineer. And this one is for a replat of Midway Estates. Aaron brought it up here on the screen for you to be able to see, but this is all with the County Road relocation and the land purchase that we're going to be doing. basically Midway Estates is this subdivision that's listed here now, or shown here, was planted way back in the 70s. The road was never put in, so no improvements were ever done, but it's an existing plat that's out there. With the land that would be purchased by the airport, it ended up cutting off, you know, chunks of multiple lots in here. Therefore, if we left it the way it was and ended up purchasing, land, you end up buying, you know, this much of this little piece based on the legal description and this many square feet of this one based on this legal description. It's super, super complicated all the time to make sure all the numbers are right and everything. So the advice we got, even though it's going to be our own local monies that we have to spend on this and can't get reimbursed from the FAA, to go ahead and have all of this land replatted. And what it would end up being at the very end then would be probably three different lots, if you will. One would be the land that the Airport Authority is purchasing, and it would be owned and maintained by the Airport Authority. The next larger piece would be the land that's remaining and going to be owned by the owner themselves. And then the third lot would basically be all of the right-of-way that's going to be necessary for the county road to be located. And it would be, go ahead, we would make sure in the plat that were in the replat that that would be dedicated for public use. Even though the county doesn't take over ownership of county roads, that way at least the right-of-way would be platted out. And so we'd have our individual lot, we'd have the county road area, and then the remaining lot that the current landowner would retain. Makes it easier for him going forward as well. He's got a clean slate. He can kind of do whatever he wants with it. Clearly delineates, like I said, where the county road area would be, and then our lot. Eventually, then that one lot, will just be incorporated into the rest of the land that the airport owns. Whether we merge some of those tax lots together into one big lot sometime in the future might be to our advantageous to us to think about doing that sometime. But again, there would be separations or new numbers based on where all the sections are.
Did that actually get sold? Or is it pending?
The transaction was done several months ago, okay. And so Larry Buss from over in Iowa now owns it.
Okay.
And we have had conversations with him. He knows that we're in the process of looking at this.
Well, he gets a free replat. I mean,
Yeah. And so he understood kind of what it is that we were doing, and like I said, ends up giving him a clean slate. So total cost then for this would be $9,500 for the replat. And then our staff will be working with the county planning and zoning department and work through their
process.
Planning commission, yeah. So any questions for staff?
I would make a motion to engage Olson to proceed with work order 19 for the replat of Midway Estates as described.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Please indicate your vote.
Members present voting aye.
Agenda item number 8. Phil, you're up again.
Yep.
Yo. All right, thank you, Vice Chair. So again, this goes back to the initial presentation that was made last month, and the board basically asked staff to begin to work on a land lease document that would be for this new hangar, that BTA hangars. Skyworks is looking at building there at the airport. I will say right up front, I have not had sufficient time to go through in depth in all of this. There are several places that either need some minor corrections or at least that I have a few questions on. So I guess I was going to look at tonight as being the opportunity that the board could take to ask questions, to look at a few other things in detail. And then maybe when it comes to a motion tonight, if you would be so comfortable to do so, maybe make a motion to authorize moving forward with the lease, as long as the chairman, vice chairman, city manager, airport manager, and the attorney would be comfortable with that final document, and that there would be no substantial changes, other than minor corrections that would be in here. It has all the standard features that are in there. I just noticed that there's a little bit of language at times that talks about extending the taxiway to the south. So I think it picked up after some of the language that was in some of the previous documents. This obviously is in a slightly different area of the airport, so some of that language doesn't need to be there, but the square footage, dollar amounts were all accurate in there. That's obviously one of the major things. And then just a few minor questions about some of the other language that I've got.
Yeah, so looking at this, based on all of our previous discussion, it basically sets this lease for a $2.25 per square foot lot lease that encompasses just the square footage of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And then the annual rent of 12 cents per square foot for the square footage of the building plus some additional perimeter around that. Do you know what the basis of that addition was? Is it just like halfway between that? So it was 5 foot on the taxi lane, 5'6" on the northern, 20 foot on the easterly side. So do you know where those dimensions came from?
I think those were kind of in the boilerplate, is my understanding.
Okay.
So they've kind of been in there before now. Whether those are still the appropriate sizes based upon the offset from some of the surrounding buildings, or where some of the other, you know, either pavement is or road, those are part of the questions that I've got a little bit.
Yeah, because the ones on the side, I know probably incorporate, because the building separation typically for those other hangars was, I think it was 11 feet or maybe 10 feet. So
I don't know if you want to bring the GIS up with that.
Yeah, so those are just kind of minor. I don't think I've seen one of these leases before. So I was,
yeah, this is my first deep dive into it too.
So it'll probably have a 10 foot space or 11 foot space to the next hangar for fire code, I guess. And so the land lease will take his half of that, I guess. And then up to the, I'm guessing it'll extend, I can't remember if he's putting tarmac on both sides or.
Yes, because they want to be able to drive through. And
okay.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the need to make sure that somebody's responsible for maintaining the area between the hangars, right?
Correct.
And so we need to make sure there's something in that agreement that.
Yeah, with the current hangars, we oftentimes end up with some just weed control problems here and there, and it's kind of no man's land. And what did the current leases actually say that we should be pushing those leaseholders more to get out there?
Our new leases can.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So
we want to make sure the language is clear in there.
Yeah.
And this is part of the discussion we had earlier about maybe reviewing the lease agreement just to kind of make sure we're covering all our bases, but one thing I was also interested in on page 7 of the document, so this is section 4.4,
yep.
It basically spells out that the tenant is responsible for construction of the apron, and I don't know if we've necessarily, in the past, if we've had that language in the lease or not. Maybe we have. The people who built hangars out there have done that without argument, but it's probably good to have in there as an expectation that the owner or the lessee is responsible for the tarmac up to the taxiway. And I don't know if there would need to be language in there that they're also responsible for maintaining it. I'm not talking about like snow plowing or things like that. I'm talking about maybe like
crack sealing
and things like that. I'm not sure if on the private hangars, what the expectation is there?
I don't think they do. I think that the airport maintains all the pavement.
Okay, even the aprons. Okay.
I believe so. Anyone want to argue with me? I believe that the city maintains all that.
Yeah. So I think that the section here in detail 4.4 deals more with the initial construction of those. Now, Katie, I'm assuming that was a section that was already in there. You highlighted it because you had some questions on whether the numbers are accurate. But I think in the past, based on just reading this, that construction of the initial apron was the responsibility of the hangar.
Gotcha. Yeah, and there's also language in there for the apron that it has to be compliant with the specifications of the airport authority. So I don't know if we have a written specification on what we require for those aprons. I think they were.
It'll come with the construction standard.
Yeah. So there we go again. So yeah. So those things kind of go hand in hand. If we're comfortable with the standard, then we might be comfortable with maintaining it.
if there is no standard, then that's kind of a risk we don't want to probably take on. So,
well, I think that what we state the standard is FAA. You know, it has to meet FAA standards. Now, they don't have to go through all the bidding process and everything else that we do, but and to date, I don't believe there's been any problems with any of the concrete that's been poured out there by private companies. I think everything has been good.
Yeah.
But it's good to specify, and so we need, I think, in the agreement, we should specify what the proper standard is. I assume should be the FAA standard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we'll probably get some pushback on that, and that can be part of our discussion with Olson on developing those construction standards, because the FAA standard, as with respect to like over excavation, compaction, all that stuff, is probably not things that they're doing, and it's actually it's also actually a specialized mix, the FAA standard, which is a lot more expensive. So in addition to the engineering work, there's also material expenses. So that's something we will probably want to discuss with Olson too. But
yeah, I do know, and again, Heather, chime in here, because, you know, for like these apron areas, the initial construction appears to be the responsibility of the person building the hangar, but then it's outside the footage of where that lease area is. So in many ways, it's kind of like what would happen in the city, that you'd have a private individual who's doing a subdivision, put in maybe some of that public infrastructure, and then they give it to the local government, they give it to the airport authority here. That would qualify in the future for some maintenance work if it was originally constructed based on FAA standards.
Except for hangar ramps. And FAA does not participate in maintenance of hangar ramps.
And what's the ramp versus apron?
The ramp would be the space between the taxi lane and the hangar.
Okay, so now, what we're calling apron here.
Yes.
Okay.
So if we would find something whereas we're reconstructing a taxi lane and there's a drainage problem or something, we might be able to get FAA to pay for a portion of it. But their stance has been, up to this point, they will not participate in sealant or anything on those ramps. We have been able to in the past tweak it a little bit and get some of it, but the FAA will look at that as a maintenance item for the airport.
So any of the crack sealing we've done prior has all been paid. The FAA hasn't supplemented that at all.
Or, not up to the hangars.
Yeah, subsidize that at all.
Space, that's up to you guys. Yes.
But that's the way it's always been.
Yes.
So no change.
No.
And since, not to bring up, these are just things I was thinking about, so this doesn't all have to be resolved tonight. But like you mentioned, the full area of the ramp or the apron is not technically within the lease.
Mm-hmm.
So if the owner wanted exclusive use of that ramp, for example, if they said, you know, no other airplanes can park here, no vehicles can park here, is it kind of a courtesy that everyone just stays off of it, or does that become kind of a legal problem where exclusive use versus non-exclusive use or something like that? I don't know if that needs, you know, I don't know if that would be in the lease or exactly how that would be handled, but.
Well, I suppose it's something that could be spelled out. I mean, I would say that it's poor form to park your vehicle in front of somebody else's hangar without their permission.
I mean,
I could see that it's illegal.
Yeah, I mean, they might want the lease, the owner of the hangar might want that protection written in the lease to say they have exclusive use of that apron. And if that's the case, would we want to just extend the lease area to cover that full area? Not the lot fee, but...
I don't know how you enforce it.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, section 4.4, you probably read it, but 4.4 does specifically state that... subject to the provisions set forth here, the authority grants to the tenant, its employees, and invitees, so you know, people that it invites to come use it, the non-exclusive right incidental to the operation of the premise, in common use with others for similar use to use the taxiway for aircraft ingress, egress from the premise. However, each portion shall be used only for the intended purpose. So, I mean, in many ways it says, yeah, that part right in front is for you to be able to use, but for the intended purpose that the airport has, and you can't be violating any other things. So, you know, we wouldn't want somebody parking, you know, their camper in front of their hangar and acting like, well, it's my hangar, I can just leave it parked out there. Not part of the intended purpose that we would allow them to do.
And those are kind of hypotheticals. I realize that. I'm just kind of trying to think ahead a little bit on that stuff. But anyway, I don't think that'll affect, I don't think we have to necessarily incorporate all that in the lease. But anyway, those were a few things that we might be looking at as we're working with Olson on the lease stuff. So.
All good points. Glad we have an engineer on our team here to help us think about that stuff.
Or not. It can be good or bad.
No, it's good. I appreciate your input personally.
All that being said, I'd be willing to make a motion to, let's see, at the discretion of the chairman, vice chairman, airport manager and city manager.
Attorney, city attorney.
And city attorney to proceed with the lease as presented with any minor changes deemed necessary to finalize it.
Okay, second that.
I might remove the word minor. Any changes?
Any?
It's major or minor.
Well, there's going to be some minor tweaks to the language.
I guess the rates are set. That's kind of what we all agree to. So that would be kind of a major change. But some of the square footage and things like that.
The dollar amounts of the sizes of the hangar, those kinds of things would be more major.
Okay, we're up to agenda number 9 then.
Did you vote on that?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All members present are voting aye.
Okay.
Thank you, Brenda. Sorry, I got ahead of things. Agenda item number 9, approving work order number 20.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. This one basically goes along with that hangar lease, and it would be the survey that goes along with that. Historically, my understanding is that the Airport Authority is contracted to actually have a survey done and the pins put in on the corners. Then in talking with Tim Howder, they would independently work with Olson to have the actual corners of the building set for them so that during construction, those are marked out, but we would be marking out the actual areas of the lease. And total cost for that would be $4,200.
Historically, on those other lots, were those all like pre-surveyed already? So we didn't have that. Like every time there was another hangar in that line, I don't remember having this before, but it might have all been done at once. Or
you did, but
all at once or
no, each individual one. We were able to do M and N together, I believe, but we were also doing the road construction at the same time.
Okay.
So I believe Rod kind of incorporated it with all that, because we were surveyors were already out here, so we were able to incorporate a lot of that. But this will also be recorded at the county, and we'll do all of that required documentation for the lease, and
okay.
Setting the pins by the registered surveyor.
Yeah, plus this one's kind of in the, it's not just the next one in the row, it's kind of its own in the middle of everything else. So
this one is a little bit more because we have to go up, and we have not established any surveying points up there in that area. We've done everything to the south. So that's why this one's a little bit more.
Gotcha. And so in the recorder's office, it's just recorded as a leased parcel then, but it's still owned by the airport? Yeah, okay.
Still owned by the Airport Authority. And even though any land that we own and utilize for an airport purpose is not taxable, this area would be. And so the assessor then picks this up and basically applies a tax lot designation to that particular area. And then the hangar owner will be taxed going forward
for
that particular site.
Okay.
Any other questions? No?
And I will say that I think this is one of the things as we're doing the review for leases and things like that, that maybe I could see this being built into the lease going forward, that this kind of stuff gets paid for, you know, through the lease arrangements. Kind of like a TIF project or something like that. We have a TIF application that gets paid for up front, and then it usually just gets rolled into the actual project. So, something to think about.
I'll make a motion to approve work order number 20 for professional services provided by Olson for four-bay corporate hangar lease and survey.
I'll second that.
Motion and second. Please indicate your vote.
All members present voting aye.
Thank you. Reports. Skyworks, got anything, Harrison?
Can I stand up?
Yeah, why don't you? Maybe speak in the microphone and maybe it'll be heard better by those people in San Diego.
Two quick questions. One, we had a skydiving jump on the hop out of NOTAM over the weekend.
I saw that.
So I don't know we figured that quite out yet.
We're trying to figure out exactly who is able to just do a NOTAM, if almost anybody can issue one. And then I'm not exactly sure even what it said, whether it was just a warning that they were taking off from our airport, jumping X number of miles away, just be aware of that activity. You know, they were, my understanding is they were not saying that they were going to be landing at our site.
Yeah, I saw it. I noted it. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And then I saw their plane out on the ramp. I just said, I'll deal with this later, and kind of went on with my life. It occurs to me, we kind of had this discussion before. I don't think we can prohibit them from jumping on the airport. It's public use. Now, we can prohibit them from establishing a commercial operation at the airport because they have to have a license from us or, you know, some sort of blessing from us to have a commercial operation at the airport. But Heather, tell me if I'm wrong. I think, you know, you can jump, you can land anywhere if you want, and you probably have to issue a NOTAM, or at least it's smart to issue a NOTAM so that people know where you're going to be. Yeah, it's usually coordinated. However, I think usually would be the key word in that comment. But it might be worth some review.
Good.
To see. Yeah.
I have the NOTAM here.
Okay.
So they said airspace parachute jumping exercises within an area defined as 3 nautical mile radius of BTA. So, I mean, they gave
I know they were taking off from Blair. I think they were jumping 3 miles to the west, shuttles picking them up. They did say, she did ask originally, could we land on the area south of where the police helicopters take off?
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing the answer, I said, I don't think that's an issue, but my concern would be if police helicopters are unpredictable. You don't want to try to skydive, land while the helicopter's taking off. The other spot she had identified was by the tree just to the north of the city hangars.
And again, along the grass strip.
Yeah, and again, my concern was you've got potential airplanes, gliders, and then a highway. I'm not familiar with skydiving, but a strong breeze can blow you into the path of one of those, which is not good either. So I didn't know the answer. I said, I'll find out for you. So.
This doesn't expire until the end of October.
She did say, I guess Plattsmouth is getting their runway repaved, I believe. And so they said that they should be back by then. But.
As I say, I don't think we can prevent them from using the airport, but they can't hang a shingle up that says parachute jumping here, you know, $55 or whatever. That's my interpretation of the FAA rules and regs. And I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
Ooh, hey.
Anyone else, comments, thoughts on that?
So the only other question
anything
I have
else, sir?
I've been getting a lot of calls for city hangar rental information. I don't know who.
Okay. Just tell them to call Aaron.
Okay.
We're looking forward to every one of them.
Am I going to have a Facebook?
That there is no vacancy.
Am I going to have a Facebook page in here?
We have a
A multi-year waiting list.
Yeah. There's over 80 people on the waiting list.
Okay. That's kind of the story I was told, so that's kind of what I've been preaching, but I just wanted to confirm that. So.
If they really want to be on the waiting list, they can call me and I'll put them on it.
Okay, perfect.
With a smile.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, that's it for me.
Okay, thank you, Harrison. Maintenance.
Other than just standard hangar door maintenance on the older hangars, really haven't had anything to speak of. So.
Okay. I think it seems like I noted something recently, but I can't remember what it was, so it must not have been a big deal. Airport construction projects, who's that? Is that you, Phil?
Well, I don't really have a whole lot of updates. Do we know when the tree removal guys might be back on site?
Once the corn comes down.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, and after the birds.
Right, right. But I mean, date-wise, is that sometime in September?
October.
Good.
Yeah, it's probably October.
Yeah.
Okay.
So mentioning tree removal, the licensing report had one tree indicated on the, I think it was on the northwest side, that they said was in violation. I don't know if, it doesn't look like a tree that would have been included in the overall tree removal plan. Is there any way we could get that tree added to the removal?
Is it identified specifically?
Yeah, they have an aerial of it there.
Yeah, if you can get that to me, I can see if we can add it.
I bet I know somebody who can get it to you.
Yeah. Then we can check that off their checklist.
Mm-hmm. Anything else for maintenance?
No, sir.
Airport manager's report.
Nothing additional to report.
Well, actually, yeah, we were on construction. Nothing else on construction. Okay, now airport manager's report. Nothing additional.
Still nothing additional.
Any other questions, comments, concerns to bring before the authority? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I will second that.
Adios.